You're listening to the World's Team Podcast. It's not just America's team, Cowboys Nation. It's the world's team. Now, here are your hosts, Paul Stewart and Mike Poland.
How about them Cowboys?
What's up, Cowboys Nation? Welcome back to the World's Team Podcast, brought to you by the Believe Network, powered by FanDuel Sportsbook, and also sponsored by Cowboys Experience. For the ultimate game day experience, go to www.cowboysexperience.com. We're in for a treat for this episode. I'm joined by my co-host, Mr. Mike Pollan, but I've got a really special guest here. It's no other than Mr. Marcus Jones. How are we doing, brother? I've no see. It's been a long time.
Yeah, I'm doing good. Thank you guys for the invite. I really appreciate you guys letting me come on and talk some Cowboys football for a few minutes.
Oh, absolutely, man. But yeah, man, so what's been happening these days? So obviously you've been doing a lot of work with DC4L, yes. And you've been doing a lot of other projects as well. So what's been happening?
So, I mean, I've been just trying to build the DC4L channel. The show is called the Fifth Quarter Podcast. So we have about 60,000 people in that group. Nice. So really, we're fueled by that group. So just trying to stay engaged with them and grow it as much as we can, because that group continues to grow daily. So we're trying to grow it inside the Facebook group and then just expand into other channels. So it's really been fun. Been a lot of work, but it's definitely something I enjoy.
And you got Amanda with you as well, who was...
a legend.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Legend. And she was
a reigning
fan of the year. Yep, yeah.
That's Cowboys fan of the year. So big shout to Amanda.
Absolutely. Yeah. So Amanda only joins me doing the rivalry game. So she joins me for all the NFC East games. So for the most part, it's really just me and the fans. So I really, really enjoy doing what I do.
Yeah. And we was talking before, and you know, because you went through a lull of not doing the podcast.
Yeah.
And I was like, are you going to get back on? He's like, yeah, I'm thinking about it. I was like, come on, do it, baby.
Yeah. We're so glad that you're back doing it, dude. We're so happy, man.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, like, obviously, we've got a really important game coming up. We're going up against the Denver Broncos, who came back with arguably one of the most ridiculous comebacks in NFL history.
Absolutely.
Where it was, I think it was like, over the course of history within the NFL, with games with 5 minutes to go, it was like 1,062 NFL games where teams under 5 minutes would never win and come back. Mm-hmm. That game there was the first time ever, and well, not to throw some dirt back on the Giants, but they're the first team to ever do it. So but give me your thoughts on that last game there for the Broncos. What did you see from them in terms of, is there anything there that we should be concerned about?
Well, when you look at any game, it pretty much lives and dies by the quarterback. So just watching Bo Nix for three quarters just stumble, not even up and down the field, just stumble drive to drive, and then that last 5 minutes kind of turn it on and start using his legs more and passing the ball. That's really what stood out to me. I still feel like in terms of the Giants, they're kind of on a high right now. It's kind of one of those situations where you bring in that rookie quarterback. Nobody's got any tape on him, and he's a guy who's mobile, he's exciting, and he's erratic, essentially. So you don't know what to expect. Yeah. And I think when you have a very disciplined team like the Broncos, who are predicated off of, we've got a defensive MVP at corner, we kind of play around him, and then we use our front seven to rush the passer. When you have a guy like Dart who can – make plays with his legs and get the lucky bounce where Theo Johnson takes it 60 yards. That kind of throws a team off kilter,
yeah,
where it takes a minute for them to kind of get their bearings. And I think that's kind of how the Giants will be successful for the next couple of weeks until we get enough tape on Jackson Dart.
Yeah, and speaking of, I know that we're going to be talking about the Cowboys and Broncos game, but ironically, news just came out about the Giants with Brian Daboll and Cam Scatterbo, being fined due to of the concussion protocols.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's just another nail for Daboll.
Yeah, it's crazy times. But while we're at it, Mike, do you want to kind of run through the injury list for me,
please? Yeah, all right. I'm going to leave one player out because we'll discuss him separately.
Okay.
But Overshown Revel and Donovan Wilson all out. Kind of expected that with Overshown and Revel. We're kind of hoping something with Overshown, but there mm-hmm. we go. In terms of questionables, we spoke about BB. We was like, whether he's going to play or not. I don't think he will. I think they'll stick with Hoffman.
Yeah.
Cornelius, Guyton, Nieland, and Juanier Thomas, all questionable. But the good news is, we got Kalen Carson back. Kenny mm-hmm. Clark, although we were a bit nervous about the elbow injury, he's mm-hmm. back. He's good to go. Kent Murray's in. Mazzy's in. Tyler Smith is good, which is important for this yeah. game.
Yes.
Jonathan Mingo. Good to go.
Mm-hmm.
See, this is the thing I've been talking about. Like, so I don't know, Mike, you'll remember specifically and going back to training camp, I talked about everyone's throwing all this shade on Jonathan Mingo because he was like, we drafted a fourth round pick for him. It's yeah. like, yeah, it sounds harsh. Yes, I get that. But you need to remember, he didn't have that Prescott when he came into the fold last year. Like, he basically was just basically, we've injected him in. Yeah, like, barely gave him any time to actually settle in, essentially. Now he's had a full off season. He was tearing it up during training camp. We got mm-hmm. to see those glimpses yeah. of Jonathan Mingo out there. So I'm really excited to see, like, what do we get from Mingo as of from now. So, yeah. but guys, let me know what your thoughts are on with Mingo coming back.
Go for it, Marcus. You're the guest.
What I love about Mingo, and thank you, Mike. What I love about Mingo right now, if you go back to last year, think of the pressure that was on this guy. I mean, he was third string from Carolina, second round pick. Jerry hypes it up all week. I'm going to bring some help in. I'm going to bring some juice to the wide receiver core. And we trade a fourth round pick for Mingo. Half the fans don't know who he is, to be honest, at that point. They bring him in. The offense at that point is basically Lamb, Lamb, and Lamb. And
literally,
we're bringing this guy in who's done nothing essentially and asking him to be our number two. So no matter what he did, even though he didn't do much, the fan base was going to frown upon it. That's a lot of pressure to put on him.
And just to add to your pressure comment, I think what adds to the pressure as well is because the Cowboys used a fourth-round draft pick on him, and the Cowboys used a fourth-round draft pick on a quarterback that yeah. didn't come to fruition. So mm-hmm. I think he comes in, and he's like, oh, God, they're all tarring me with the same brush.
Exactly.
And that's the added pressure to it. I agree with you.
And they played him at the X. Yes. It's not like he came in as like the Z receiver or in the slot.
Yeah.
He's your outside guy you're expecting to dictate coverages and make plays when you need him. Now you bring him in, he gets to play the Z, which mm-hmm. means he's off the line. He gets to use his height, weight, and speed to take advantage of mismatches. Yeah, they move him around a little bit. He's essentially coming in now as the fourth option in the passing mm-hmm. game when you consider what Jake Ferguson is doing right now.
There you go.
So now there's no pressure. Mm-hmm. I mean, he has the intangibles. He has the tangibles to do well. And there is no pressure on him. So I'm expecting to see what he can give us, if anything, because the person that's playing that spot right now in Jalen Tolbert hasn't given us much.
I was just about to say that. Do you think that Jalen Tolbert is now kind of under the fire now that with Mingo coming back?
Yeah. I've said it for 3 weeks. The Cowboys have a log jam at several positions. One of them being wide receiver, mm-hmm. they're going to have to move a guy, and all signs to me point to Tolbert.
Yeah. Especially after he made that, you know, Jaden Blue makes a great 12-yard run over to the mm-hmm. right on an off-tackle run. And it's great to go and watch. Gets called back because Jalen Tolbert is caught holding on the outside. And he's just like, And I everybody turns around and keeps saying, yeah, but Jalen Tolbert made that amazing toe-tap catch on the outside and all the rest of it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, yeah, but you're talking about one play, one spectacular play. But mm-hmm. the bread and butter that, like, the actual real stuff that a wide receiver needs to do and be good at. Jalen Tolbert is no good at. I still don't understand how he's on the roster. I just don't. I don't know how he made the final 53.
Yeah, like, and my thing was, like, I always shouted out, like, Ryan Flournoy. What, to me, I think, like, and here's the thing when it comes to Tolbert, right? Like, what I've noticed is whenever he does catch the ball, he doesn't seem to get those extra rack yards as much. Mm-hmm. Like, it seems to be he catches the ball and he's instantly brought down to the ground. Like, you might gain 2 or 3 yards from rack yards because of momentum, but you don't really see him making the strides to go and do, like, an extra 15 yards or 20 yards or anything like that. You don't see that. Whereas Ryan Flournoy, in some capacity, like, yeah, he may be at, like, a late, was it fifth rounder he was?
Yeah, fifth or sixth, something like that.
Like, for a small dose of that impact that he did, but he was one of the stars, I would say, in training camp. He outperformed Jalen Tolbert, bar none. I would say, like, the person who was there to lose his job was Jalen Tolbert in training camp.
And like
what Mike was saying, I was surprised he made the 53-man roster based on his performances.
This seems to be an odd, like, chemistry issue with him and Dak. It just is. It just doesn't seem like there's any chemistry. It's, and, like, you look at, like, some of the tip passes or, like, tip pass or interceptions that Dak has had. It always seems to be when it goes to Tolbert, like, as if he's in the wrong position, the wrong place, or Dak isn't purely confident in throwing towards that way. And you see it time and time again, and I'm just like, and the bit that really winds me up, oh God, here we go. The bit that really winds me up on with Jalen Tolbert is it'll be 3rd and 5, and they decide to throw the pass, and they'll throw to Jalen Tolbert, and you're like, what are you doing? You've got Pickens and Lamb on this team.
Right.
You've got Jake Ferguson. And Ferguson. Why are you throwing it to Jalen Tolbert who isn't catching the ball? It just, it blows my mind.
I can give you a guess answer. I can give you a guess on it because that's the least expected person you're going to throw it to.
It just doesn't make any sense. It just doesn't make sense to me. But that's Jalen Tolbert. But there is a player on the injury list, though, Paul, that I left out on purpose because I think we might talk a little in depth on this one.
Go ahead.
Trayvon Diggs is out. Not only is Trayvon Diggs out, Jerry Jones has made comments this week about...
It was Stephen Jones.
Stephen Jones has made the latest comment, but Jerry has made comments about Diggs this week saying there's bigger issues with Diggs, which is why he's not playing. And then Stephen Jones comes out later on Friday and says, we might be moving him to injured reserve. And I mean, there's something going on there, something seriously major.
I know you guys have your ears to the Cowboys news more than me. Has there been any indication of what happened?
No.
It's been tight-lipped. Chinese whispers, pretty much.
Okay.
It is. And, like, everything's contradictory. So
that makes even more unusual.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Like, it's there's some things that say one thing, and then the next minute it's the opposite, and then it's back the other way again. It's like a wave, and it just doesn't... None of it is making any sense or adding up. The only thing I can think of is they're trying to lay some sort of PR groundwork of some type of getting him off the roster.
I
find the whole scenario so bizarre. Like, I mean, I don't want to talk about Parsons, but that was strange on its own, in its own right. Then now we've got Diggs now, and I'm just like, can we not just have one season without drama, pretty much?
Yeah.
That's all we're asking for. Like, because we had a really great start. Like, don't get me wrong, like, when Schottenheimer was announced, we weren't too sure, but he started doing all the right things in terms of the right coaches he was trying to bring in. Well, with subject with question with Eberflus, that's still questionable right now. We will dive into that. But everything seemed to be great going. We made moves in the offseason, thought we drafted well, etc. So, and then the bomb hits with Parsons, and now the bomb hits with Diggs. You're like, oh, can we just have that one season where no drama ever happens?
Welcome to the Cowboys.
Exactly.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what you need to put up when you support the world's team, folks.
Yeah.
And why we're all bold.
Oh, so, yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah.
In terms of Diggs, I'm paying attention to see if they put him on IR or NFI, which is non-football injury list. Because if they put him on NFI, then they could.
Can they do that though? I suppose it was an off the field injury.
He got injured at home. That's what's been reported. Mm. So if he's unable to play, technically they could put him on NFI. And if they did, that would make his contract not unguaranteed.
Yeah.
Ooh. Interesting.
Just something to watch.
And then that means the plot just thickens.
Yeah. But we're diving a bit more into the conspiracy side of this, that's for sure. But let's get back to reality. We do have a game coming up. Because let's go back into the history of the Cowboys versus the Denver Broncos. Okay. So, historically, the Cowboys are 9-5. No, sorry. The Broncos are 9-5 against the Dallas Cowboys. The last time the Dallas Cowboys won was back in 1995. With a 7-game losing streak. But the last time the Dallas Cowboys won at Mile High Stadium in Colorado was back in 1992. I was 6 years old when that happened. 30 years ago.
Yeah, that's pretty wild.
That's crazy. The fact that we haven't won over there in like 30 years is astonishing.
Chains are made to be broken, though.
This could be the game. It could be. Now we've got the... Because when you really think about it, like offensively, I feel very confident. But the question still remains on our defense. I think this is going to be the theme here, like going into this show, this breakdown, what we're about to do here. But love to hear Marcus's thoughts. So, Marcus, what is your thoughts in terms of generically with the offense and your thoughts on the defense so far this season?
I mean, it's really just a tale of two teams. We're on two completely different spectrums. We'll start with the good first. Offense has been amazing.
The good, the bad, and the defense.
well, the defense is all the bad. Just offensively, starting from the top down, love what Schottenheimer's been doing. Love what Clayton Adams has been doing. You can definitely see a change in the culture. You can see a change in the scheme. You can see a change in the mentality of the players. Like, during the offseason, people really tried to just make comments about seeing the guys dancing around, and before practice, they would have some silly thing that they would do.
Yeah.
That stuff is starting to pay dividends now, because you can really see that this team is playing loose and free. And then schematically, the play calling has just been flawless.
There we go. I was wondering if you're going to mention the play calling.
Yeah. Outside of that last drive against the Panthers, I can't think of a single series in 7 games that I say, oh, that was a bad drive. Everything has been called flawlessly. The offensive line, even though they have their issues, they've been doing what they need to do to cover them up. And then just going to individual players, George Pickens was my favorite receiver in that draft. I know he was taken in the second round, but I was upset that the Cowboys didn't take a flyer on him late in the first round that year. I never fell into the Steelers hype. We have a laundry list of wide receivers with the Steelers who've been malcontent.
What have I been saying, mate? What have I been saying about the Steelers? Just to back your point there, Marcus, because when you look at it, you got Antonio Brown, Martavius Bryant, Juju Smith-Schuster, all these really good wide receivers that are at Pittsburgh, and all of a sudden have been completely offloaded. Yeah. I don't think it's a wide receiver problem in Pittsburgh. I think it's a Mike Tomlin problem. I really do.
Yeah. So at some point, you got to call a spade a spade. I mean, I know people are highly respected of Mike Tomlin, but the proof's in the pudding. These receivers are all causing problems there.
Yeah.
And then he comes here, and everything that we saw at Georgia, always smiling, loose on the sidelines, great, great ball catcher, the master of the 50-50 ball. Yeah. All that's been showing up. And then you go to the backfield and you look at Javonte Williams and another guy. Loved them coming out of college.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That was a really deep draft that year, and I still had him as one of my top 3 running backs.
How could you not?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. First year in Denver. Just talking about Denver really quick since we're on Denver. First year in Denver, 900 yards, seven touchdowns. Everything we're seeing now, he showed it then. Mm. Bad knee injury. Took away his second year. Mm. His third year, he was coming off the injury. Exactly. And then in year four, he gets the only coach in the NFL who hates big running backs in Sean Payton. I mean, Sean Payton started Jaleel McLaughlin, who was a converted wide receiver over there. That tells you what you need to know about Sean Payton. And we can go through Sean Payton's history. He loves scat backs. Mm-hmm. So I knew Javonte Williams had something in the tank. I didn't know it would be this. And even
You're not the only one. Yeah, you're not the only one, because we generally thought like it would have been one of those one year and duns type of thing, like just like giving the guy an opportunity. More rotation, but no, Williams has came in and he's over delivered so far. Like the expectations have went well past, like, well, our expectations were very low. They've preceded that now, like, and we're feeling a lot more comfortable now, especially when it comes to the run game, because even if we remember going back to week one against the Eagles, the first two drives for the Cowboys were rushing touchdowns in the red zone. Nah. I mean, like, that was one of
them.
What was funny is I predicted that as well, if you remember, in our hot takes.
That's right. And that was one of our biggest kryptonites. So the fact is that Schottenheimer has fixed that. The fact that we are scoring in the red zone is a big, massive difference already. Yeah. We're playing, like you said, we're playing a lot more freely with the offense. We're seeing likes of Pickens and Lamb having that good bond together. And Ferguson, it seems to be back to where he was, like, making those crucial catches, being that safety blanket and putting points on the board. So offensively, and just to, and I kind of mentioned this on the UK Cowboys fans, I do have a bit of beef with Colin Coward in terms of how he's ranked the Dallas offensive line. I really do, because he has said, and I quote, the Dallas Cowboys are 30th in pass protection. And I was like, where in the hell did you get those stats from? Because if I remember correctly, the Cowboys have only given up 8 sacks, which is like in the top 10 in the NFL. In terms of pressure rate, the Cowboys are in the top 3. So I kind of understand where 30th came from. So that was my jip. So, yeah.
I just think that they're doing that a lot as well. And they did it with 3 backups on the line at one stage. Mm-hmm. So that says a lot that, you know, Dak, and you go up against what the Washington Commanders, defensive line, very stunty, love to try and confuse the offensive line. I like 1 sack. I'm sorry, that for me is a win.
Absolutely. Yep. Well, here's the interesting part. We're going up against a very disciplined defense in the Denver Broncos.
Yeah.
Lead the league
should
in sacks.
Should we be concerned with what the Denver Broncos defense can do? Because I believe they are leading the NFL in total sacks this year.
Yes, they are.
They are. And they're very good against the run as well.
Yeah.
I think they're like 5th in terms of rush yards allowed. So they're not only getting sacks, they're stopping the run.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, with the likes of like Nick Bonito and Zach Allen and the rest and the linebackers. Because it's not just the front 4 that are very, very good. The front 4 are good at creating the spaces for their linebackers to flow to the ball. They're very good at it. It's all about those flying linebackers. So, yeah, I mean, concerned, yes. But this, for me, is more, and then I'll get Marcus's thoughts.
Yeah.
For me, this game is more just a litmus test. So now it's like, right, you've got your start. You're going to have your starting 5, possibly, if Cooper Beebe plays. Right. Don't know if he will. Hoffman's in there. Okay. And we'll carry on with that. But this is a nice litmus test of at least 4 of your starting offensive linemen of what do you do when you're up against the best? The best of the best. So it's not so much concern. It's more intrigue.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know what you think, Marcus.
So when I look at the Broncos, when I look at a team, I try to watch like at least 3 of the prior games. And the defense has been playing well. I give them that.
Mm-hmm.
But they are a small overall front seven. Now, mm-hmm. they're extremely disciplined, and they fly to the ball.
Yeah.
And when you give high effort, good things always happen. But true. They haven't really played a team that can physically go to the line and punch them in the mouth. Mm. If you look at who they played so far this year, okay, the Colts beat them. They have a team that can punch you in the mouth.
Mm.
The Chargers, when they played them, the Chargers were just decimated. I mean, they're missing three guys in the offensive line. And then they have the Bengals, the Jets, and the Titans. So they've done a lot of their work against some fairly subpar offensive lines.
Mm.
And the only time they ran up against a really good one in the Colts, that did lead to a loss. So that gives me hope.
Yeah.
Because I would say, I don't want to take away from the Colts, but we're at worst the second best offensive line that they're going to face so far this year. So as much as we have to kind of pull up our pants and get in the trenches with them, they have to do the same thing with us.
Yeah.
Because our front five is playing really good against the run. Now, when it comes to the pass, I do have some concerns because their linebacker, is it Cooper?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cooper is flying off the edge.
Yeah.
And Guyton struggles with speed rushers with his definitely. Balance issues. Same
he's
thing.
So big.
Yeah. Same thing with Terrence Steele on the other side. He has balance issues as well. If
yeah.
a guy can, if he can't use his length and a guy can get on him quick. So in the pass game, that does kind of concern me. But in the run game, I'm interested to see not only how we handle them, but how they handle us if we commit to the run.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, totally. Like, I think, like, in fairness, like, I thought like, when you look at last week's game against, God, who the hell did we play last week? Washington. That's
you
who
play
we
Washington.
Did.
Yeah.
I mean, you could say that was probably arguably Guyton's best ever game. And yeah. Washington's defense on face value are pretty decent in face value.
Yeah.
Like they've got Payne. They had a lot more there, but. The Cowboys offense actually made good work on breaking that defense down. And that was what I think what was like, people don't give our offense enough credit for it because they were so fixated on Washington's offense, like because they were missing so many wide receivers.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't take the credit away like from what Dallas did offensively against like a defense like Washington.
We've
had some like good performances out this season so far. So, Mike, you look as though you're about to say something.
No, I was going to say, like, the only issue I have with the offensive line, Hoffman, I have concerns of. I find his center guard exchanges, especially in communication, can be an issue.
Yeah.
Those center guard exchanges, they were a lot better in the Washington game than they were in the Panthers game. It was just, it was flat. But in the Washington, it was better. So I'm hoping that it progresses better again in this, because he's definitely going to need to have that communication, and those center guard exchanges need to be clean.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Definitely. All right. In terms of the other side of the ball, let's look at the...
Okay.
So we talked about the good. We've talked about some little bit of bad, but we need to talk about the ugly. But I will say, though, last week was an improvement.
Mm-hmm.
Massive improvement. And Mike, hit me with it. What did they do last week? It was so significant compared to what they'd done before.
Well, there was a lot of things they did. But I think the main thing was Eberflus getting into rhythm and getting a feel. Like he was getting the timing right in terms of when to sack. But on everything else, it was stopping the run was a big one.
Mm-hmm.
You're missing my cue here.
In the secondary? You want me to say it?
Yeah, you say it. Marcus knew exactly what I was talking about.
They played a lot more man coverage.
Yeah.
There we go. That's what I thought that's what you were going to go there.
I was starting at the front and working back.
Oh, my God.
Paul was impatient.
I'm impatient tonight, man. Sorry. No, okay.
Sorry.
But yes, that was the big difference. And we kind of, if that's one thing. If we learned even from last week for the Giants and Broncos game, The Giants' defense were man coverage, I would say 75% of that game. Mm-hmm. And when they took the gas off the brakes, they decided to go to zone coverage. And that's when all hell broke loose.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's when Bo Nix really turned it up when they switched to zone. Like, I was just like if I was Matt Eberflus, take that as a mental note not to change from zone, like change from man to zone. Like, there was a big significant improvement to that. But
though, Marcus, you guys see Brian Burns having a meltdown walking to the locker room after the game?
Yeah.
Talking about, I can't believe they changed to a zone.
Yeah.
That's actually what he said going into the locker room.
Yeah.
Man, it's crazy. But yeah, but Marcus, give me your thoughts, like, just overall with the defense. Like, is there still areas that you're still concerned about? Are you happy that we get to see some progression from the defense?
I mean, maybe I'm more glass half full than most people, because I think if I'm going front to back, so kind of like what I'm about to do, I'm okay with the defensive line. I know people keep saying we need to get a pass rusher, but we're second in the league in pressures.
Mm-hmm.
We've got guys who can get to the quarterback. They just need more time. I mean, the stats show they can get back there. They just don't have enough time to get home.
I prefer pressures to sacks, though, if I'm honest with you.
If the secondary is doing their job, I can see it. Because if you got more pressures, you get more Deron Bland being able to make bigger plays.
That's what happens.
Yep.
Yeah. Going to the linebacker group, I'm completely disappointed.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was how
that's
Kennedy
the biggest Murray. Disappointment.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. I know some people are saying we need a pass rusher. I would like to see us get a linebacker.
Yeah.
I still like Kenneth Murray, but I realize now he needs someone playing next to him to put him in position.
Yeah.
Because
he needs more complimentary. Yeah. Like teammates.
He's very roverish.
He is, yeah. When he sees it, he can go.
Yes.
But he doesn't see it quickly.
He never reads landmarks.
That split second, that's Rico Dowdle running for 30 yards at a pop and catching six balls for 45 yards.
Yeah. That's ironically, in that game, Kenneth Murray was out of position quite a bit.
Quite a bit.
Hitting the wrong landmarks.
That was ugly, yeah.
Yeah.
I like Shamar James. The 15 tackles were impressive, but he's a rookie. One thing I love about Shamar James, and I talked about this during the post-draft process, before the snap, he may be one of the best linebackers you can see. And I'm big on guys who point. So when I see a guy before the snap, he's pointing here, he's pointing at gaps, that lets me know that he's done his homework and he sees it. Now, after the ball snaps, I don't know if this is because he's a rookie or not, but there's still some hesitation on making plays.
It's just that rawness.
I
think that's the best word to kind of describe it. There's a little bit of hesitation, like, from Shamar James. I think he was just have that little bit more confidence. I think we would expect we would see more from that. But I think from we're seeing him going from strength to strength. Like, in comparison, but if I was Jack Sanborn right now, I'd be worried.
He should be worried.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he's done. I mean, he's just too slow for what he's...
Exactly.
For what it is. You know, like Shamar James, you talk about that new age off-ball linebacker, speedy, fast, quick, flowing. Yeah, I mean, you talk about the hesitation. I agree with you. I think it's the rookie side of it all. Yeah. And I think it's not just the rookie side of... that he's not sure. I think it's also he's got to understand you have to take the ball by the horns. And I think he's a little bit concerned of, I don't want to mess this up. I'm the new guy.
Yeah.
I think there's a bit of that in there.
Because when he tackles you, he doesn't miss tackles.
Nope.
The problem is
he missed tackles last week.
Yeah. He's making tackles 4 yards downfield when they should be closer to the line of scrimmage. And that may be me nitpicking, but once he gets to a point where he can make tackles at the line of scrimmage, he's going to be something special.
Yes.
Because he's making plays and he sees it. It's just that, like you said, that rawness, that hesitation. I would love to – go ahead. Sorry.
I was just going to say, correct me if I'm wrong, but we were the ones that actually traded up to get James. Am I right?
We did.
Yes.
Yeah. Because
there's a reason for it. There's a reason for it, folks.
I remember complaining about that during the draft.
I did the same. I was like, what are they doing?
But yeah, I see the traits there. I feel like we still need more of a veteran guy to either get Murray off the field or be able to put Murray in better position. Because, again, we talk about Jamar James. He's good enough and smart enough to see it for himself, but it takes a different type of linebacker to put other guys in position. I don't think he's there yet either. And he's having to clean up a lot of Murray's mistakes.
But you know what I like the idea of?
Yeah.
If everything goes to plan that we hope and that nothing has changed with Overshown, Shamar James and Overshown together.
That would be amazing.
That's flying.
That is absolutely flying, yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're at that point now, like with the show, we need to kind of think about how does the Cowboys stack up against the Broncos. So, in terms of right now, the Dallas Cowboys are currently plus 144 on the money line, with the Denver Broncos set to 172. In terms of the spread, it's set at minus 3.5 for the Denver Broncos and plus 3.5 for the Cowboys, and over and under is set at 50.5, and this is all provided by FanDuel Sportsbook. But yeah, and also with terms to ESPN, they have the Denver Broncos winning this by 52.6%. Yep.
Okay. I
can't even read. My goodness.
You okay?
But
it's your handwriting.
It shouldn't be. It's digitally written.
I'm minding him
up. Thank you for that. Just for
never
our audio listeners.
Never seen you without glasses before, mind.
I was just going to say, thank you for that. For our audio listeners just listening in there, Marcus just tried to provide me with his glasses there. So, but yeah, what is your thoughts in terms of the sports odds and in terms of like the overall perspective in terms of the like favorites for this game?
All surprised.
That's a high number. I mean, I know the Cowboys' offense has been amazing, but going into Denver and expecting 50 total, ooh, that's a lot. I mean, it's possible, but we haven't even talked about that Denver altitude and how we rarely have ever played there. So guys got to get accustomed to that. That's a major factor that a lot of people don't touch base on.
And just to repeat, the last time we won a game there was back in 1992.
Mm.
And I think the last time when we played there, I think we only scored like about 17 points and they put like 30 odd points on us.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. And obviously the biggest one obviously from recent times was obviously back at home when it was Peyton Manning versus Tony Romo. That was a score setter. I think the total points was over 90.
Yeah, it was a back and forth game.
It was a back and forth war that game. Yeah. But here's the question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Like, if out of the two quarterbacks, and Mike kind of raised this question on the UK Cowboys fans, it's like, who would you trust more to like put like with the everything on the with everything on the line, if your offense is kind of somewhat struggling, who would you trust more to kind of get you over the ropes and actually get you that win? Would it be Dak or would it be Bo Nix?
Well, if you listen to people who watch the game with no stake in it, I would say Dak. But if you listen to mainstream media, they're all going to say it's Bo Nix. I was just going to say, listening to those props from the big books, gambling books, they basically have it as an even game.
Fairly close.
Yeah. If you're 3.5 going to someone's house that's supposed to be a good team, that's almost 50-50. And like you said, 52%. So the gambling books are right there. It's odd if you watch all of the four-letter networks and all these supposedly experts, they all said we're going to lose by 15 and we're frauds. So it's interesting to see how different they are from the people who get paid to really analyze this stuff and give their thoughts and put money behind it.
Absolutely. And like I kind of said, that the Cowboys are, in terms of the actual money line, they're at plus 144, and the Broncos are set at minus 172. But yeah, but in terms of that, but what are the keys to victory for this game for the Dallas Cowboys? And we'll start off with our guest here, Marcus.
Definitely, yeah.
Offensively, we definitely have to dictate the line of scrimmage. Like I said before, they run a 3-4 defense, but they don't have a guy over 300 pounds on their front on their defensive line. Their D tackles are 295, and then Zach Allen's playing end at like 280.
Yeah,
in a 3-4.
Yeah, it's that. I don't think he's even 280.
Right, and this is a 3-4 defense, everybody. So you're expecting big guys up front. And then their linebackers are all 240, 250, and they're the pass rushers.
That's standard, mind you, nowadays in the NFL.
Yeah, it is, for sure. Now, not having a 300-pounder on a 3-4, again, I said this at the beginning of the show, that means that they're flying and that they're disciplined to be able to hold up against these big offensive lines. So we have to take advantage of that and dictate the offensive line. I think if we do that and we continue to marry the pass and the run game like Schottenheimer talks about and take advantage of some of these mismatches in terms of whoever Pat Surtain isn't guarding and then whoever's the third wide receiver, which will probably be Mingo, that's definitely going to be a big key. Defensively, we haven't talked about this. Who's starting at safety? Because Wanye may or may not be out. Donovan Wilson's already listed as out. And Malik Hooker's on IR. So who's our safeties?
Marquise Bell.
Bell.
And Elijah Clark.
Elijah Clark, yeah.
I suppose you could you could put Clark in there. But mind you, didn't really have a bad game the last time he got snaps. Yeah.
We did just re-sign Zion Childress, one of my pet cats, to the practice squad. So
yeah,
I would be shocked if he doesn't get called up this week just because we lagged up.
Yeah.
So a big key for me would be definitely safety play because, again, we just talked about it. We don't know who's starting at safety. Mm. And in a game like this,
you want to play too high.
That's going to be a major factor. Another key that I don't think gets talked about enough, Denver has some good receivers, and we just talked about linebackers. Are they going to be able to cover Evan Engram at tight end and R.J. Harvey at running back, who, while he does nothing in the running game, he's getting 4 to 5 catches out of the backfield every week.
Yeah.
And those are going to be – those are going to be two big keys for our defense. Can we stop Engram and can we stop Harvey? I think everything else will kind of work itself out.
And that is a great point you just made there. And I might be stealing a little bit of Mike's thunder here, but with the screen passes and the short passes that they tend to do, like, what's one thing you really don't want to be doing in terms of that? You don't want to be put into zone coverage and drop 10 yards back.
Yeah.
Like, so if that's spreading the pudding for Matt Eberflus, it's like, try and stick to man coverage in this game as much as possible. Do not give him an inch to gain those yards. But offensively, quick passes, I think, just do exactly what we've been doing for the past 2 weeks. Like we were on a really good ball run in terms of like rushing with the ball, and we're seeing Lamb and Pickens really coming out of their shell. Like, and I wasn't expecting Lamb to have such a great game last week after coming back from injury. Like, so that was a really nice surprise. So I think with that, and I think one of the other key things is Jake Ferguson. Like, I think he's going to be vital for this game. But Mike, sorry if I may have stolen any of your funding.
No. I've still got mine. Mine is, you've got to establish the run. The pass rush is very, very good with Denver. Establishing the run with Javonte Williams will mean that they have to load the box. Once you load the box, you can open the pass. Play action opens up, RPOs, which is kind of weird, but you can open up the pass that way. By establishing the run with Javonte Williams, especially in the B gap between Guyton and Smith, because you've seen that with Cam Scatterbow last week. And I think they were averaging 7.1 yards per carry on the left B gap. which is monumental in comparison to everything else.
And that's where Zach Allen is, who weighs, like you said, 275, 280 in the 3-4.
Yeah. So you hit that gap on that left-hand side, you could be in for a good day. You've got to establish that run. On the opposite side, I think it's all about the trenches. It's edges, holding their rush lanes, staying within the lines. Don't let Bo Nix escape.
Mm-hmm.
And don't let J.K. Dobbins dominate the game. You've got to slow that down, because otherwise play action on their side has come in and the quick screen games.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. It's now time for your little segment now, Mike. It's time for Mike's Would You Ravels. So just so you know, Marcus, this is like, it's basically one or the other. Like, what would you prefer, pretty much, in this scenario? And some of them would be quite, I'll be honest, some of them would be quite quicker, but some of them will make you think, oh, you terrible person, why would you ask me that? so it's a fun segment. And folks, if you're watching on YouTube, let us know what you think.
Do you want any over-unders in this, or just would you rathers?
Go with the flow.
All right.
Yeah. Your choice.
All right, let's go with the first one, right? What would you rather this Cowboys defense shows you in this game? Sacks or takeaways? You were the toughest to begin with.
Sorry. I told you.
I would probably say sacks.
I should have given you a lighter one to begin with. I'm sorry.
I mean, turnover differential always determines a game. But just from me on a personal aspect, I want to see them get to the quarterback.
Yeah.
I keep hearing people say we need edges. I want to see them prove that what we have in house is good enough to get the job done. So I would like to see them get sacks from a personal level.
Cool. All right. I agree with Marcus, but I'm actually kind of going more towards the takeovers, because that means it gives our offense more chance to go in and put more points on the board. So that's where I'm kind of looking from that perspective. But yeah, I agree with both points. But I did warn you, Marcus, some of these questions could be a bit of a mind boggle.
The first one was pretty good.
All right. I'll give you the next one then. All right. What would you rather see on offense? Dak being efficient on the move, or the pass protection being elite?
Oh, definitely pass protection on that one.
Yeah.
That's an easy one.
I thought I'd go a bit easier on you guys.
Yeah.
All right, then. I'll give you the last one then. And this, I'll do this as an over-under.
Okay.
Dak Prescott pass attempts, 33.5 over-under.
Do you know what he averages now? I don't even keep up with that.
Maybe about 30.
Okay. What do I think, or what I want to happen? Is that the question?
Predicting.
So okay, predict. I'm leaning under. Javonte Williams, revenge game. I think we run the ball a little bit more than we have in the past.
That's exactly what I said. That's exactly what I said. And it would be a nice fitting story. Like, we had Rico Dowdo's comeback story when he played against us. Yeah. Why can't Javonte Williams have his?
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
So, all right. Okay, now it's time for the really fun part.
Okay.
It's time for the final score predictions and your bowl predictions. So, as our guest, Marcus,
okay,
what is your score prediction for the Dallas Cowboys versus the Denver Broncos?
So, I mean, the Cowboys right now are the first or second in scoring.
First.
I don't think we hit that mark this week. I think it's going to be a little bit lower scoring, closer than fans expect. I'm looking at 23-20 Dallas. And like I said, I think we're going to run the ball effectively. That Denver altitude plays an effect in the game. Can't be as high flying as you like when guys can't catch their breath. And I think it's easier to run the ball than pass it. So I think this is going to be a more controlled running game type style. Bold prediction, again, just Javonte Williams, revenge game, going back to Denver, 100 yards, multiple touchdowns.
All right, Mike.
Cowboys are winning this one because I just want the streak to end.
Yeah.
And it's going to be 30-21.
Okay.
Yeah, I was kind of
a lot of Brandon Aubrey.
Oh yeah, and what was your bold prediction, Mike?
My bold prediction. Oh, I got a good bold prediction.
Oh, hit me with it.
Okay. Jonathan Mingo, 66-yard touchdown.
Gotcha.
Darren, that's a that would be a one way to come back from injury and make a bold statement. And yeah, that's a really good one, Mike. I like that. All right, for me, I've been dwelling on this one for the past couple of days. Like, I was initially going to give it to Bronco, but just knowing how our offense, and hopefully if Matt Eplefus does his homework and maybe kind of not to tell him what to do, I'm just saying, learn from that Giants game and we've seen what happened. If things kind of go to plan, the Cowboys are going to win. So I'm going to say the Cowboys are going to win 37-31.
Okay. You guys are going high.
Yep. I trust our offense. I know you're saying licks the altitude, and that's a really good valid reason why it might be low scoring and maybe run the ball. But I just think there might be some creases in this defense we can actually really expose with the firepower that we have with Pickens and Lamb and Jake Ferguson as well. So it'd be very interesting to see. But yes, folks, that is the end of this episode. Be sure to hit us up on social media. Be sure to follow the World's Team on YouTube, social X, Instagram, TikTok. Make sure you give us a follow. Before we do go, Marcus, please tell everyone where everyone can find you on DC4L.
All right. Well, thank you guys for the invite. I really appreciate it. Always a pleasure to talk to you guys and talk some Cowboys.
We love you, Marcus.
So you guys can find me on Facebook, X, Instagram, Bluff City Cowboys, all together. You can find me every Wednesday night, 8:30 Central Standard Time on the Fifth Quarter Podcast. So if you haven't done so already, you can go to the DC4L Facebook group, hit that like button, join, or you can go to YouTube, find me at Bluff City Cowboys. Interactive show. I do some of the same stuff you guys do, over-unders, X-factors, things like that. So I think you guys come over. We're fueled by the fan base, and we think you'll enjoy what you hear.
Awesome. No, thank you so much for coming on. It's so good to see you again, dude. So really appreciate you coming on. And Mike, let us know where everyone can find you also.
Yeah, you can find me on X or Twitter at Kenfig Cowboy. That's Kenfig with a K, Cowboy with a K. And you, Mr. P.
That's IMP Stu on X and Instagram. But yes, folks, that is the end of our pregame show. We are overly, we're feeling confident the Cowboys are going to win this game, knowing what this could be the revenge game for Javonte Williams. Who knows? Anything can happen. Mm-hmm. But like as always here at the World's Team, just remember, folks, it's not just America's team. It is the World's Team. We'll see you guys next time.
That's a wrap on the World's Team Podcast. Smash that like button and hit subscribe, Cowboys Nation. This ain't just America's team, it's your team.
Touchdown!
It's the World's Team, only on Bleav, where real fans live.
How about them Cowboys?